Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode this evening, I am excited because we are still continuing in our Book of Job. Now, I suggest highly that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take the time and thank you for you having taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I'm using. So thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, or God said, if you humble yourself and if you seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, I will heal you. He said that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Jesus promises that that you will be healed if you turn from your wicked ways and you seek him and pray to him. God said again through Solomon, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your steps. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Again, the promise is all of your steps will be directed by God. If you do these things, you trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will give you this. God again said to King David, if you set your love upon me, on him, he will deliver you with long life. He will satisfy you and show you his salvation. And that's taken from Psalms chapter 91, verse 14 through 16. Again, God promised that God will deliver you and he will satisfy you with long life if you do his commandments. Now, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we continue or we go into the study, I would like to always, as I do, give you this information, my brothers and sisters, rehearse this for you, that you know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is to study and learning. Now, this is the key, my brothers and sisters. We are here tonight to study and learn together. Now, let's turn to the study. Okay, let's turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Job. And we're going to be looking at the book of Job. And we're going to start with Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. And we're going to look at Job chapter 7. And please turn, give me a second, my brothers and sisters. We're looking at Job chapter 7. And Job chapter 7, we are going to start with this instruction. And we're going to turn your Bible sources with me to Job chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 5 through 7. And this is what the instruction is. As you get older, you get sickly. Again, my brothers and sisters, as you get older, you get sickly. Now, remember that we're talking about Job and his three cohorts that are trying to convince Job that he has sinned. And this is what Job chapter 7, verse 1 says. It says, is there not an appointment? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also long like the days of a hireling? And verse 5 through 7 says this, my flesh is clothed with worms and clogs of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shovel, spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. My brothers and sisters, that is what Job is confronting. And this, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And this is where it's going to amplify the understanding of as you get older, you get sickly. And this is because of what I got. Now let's start. Take our first break. Okay.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering. You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop. Because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day, when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That's what defines our destiny when you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at this particular instruction. As you get older, you get sickly. And we already know what was said in Job 7, chapter 7, verse 1 and 5 through 7. And this is what opens it up even more so. It makes it more pertinent. Let's turn our Bible sources to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Listen to what happened in the Garden of Eden. And unto Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return again to the earth or the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And verse 22 through 24 completes this thought of we get old and why. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent forth the man from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. My precious brothers and sisters, that's the reason why we get old and sickly and die, because of the disobedience of man in the garden. That more than opens it up spiritually to tell us why this is the case that was given to Job by one of his cohorts. Now let's go turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources. We're going to look at James. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 4. Turn to James chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 through 17. And this is the connection. This is how is put today to us in the New Testament, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get good gain. Wherefore, ye know not shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting or rejoicing is evil. Therefore, do to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. My precious brothers and sisters, what James is telling us is that because of our length of time as we live, that we have trouble and that we should be giving God the glory before we try and do anything in our lives, because he is the only one that allows us to live long enough to complete whatever it is we are to do. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our life, that because of diminished capacity, whether you live or not, the dying process makes you feeble, weak, and sick, and that's because of sin. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, turn your Bible sources with me back to Job, and we're going to look at Job chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 7, Job chapter 8, verse 3 through 7. And here we're going to have another one of Job's cohorts try to convince him that he has sinned. And this particular cohort, or friend of Job's, is Bildad the Shuhite. And listen to what Bildad says to Job. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I give you the read the scripture text to you. This is the instruction. Does God pervert judgment? That is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture. Does God pervert judgment? This is what Bildad said to Job. Bildad said, does God pervert judgment, or does the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he has cast them away for their transgressions, if thou wouldest seek unto God betime and make thy supplications to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet the latter end should greatly increase. My precious brothers and sisters, what Bildad is telling Job is God doesn't pervert judgment unless there is sin in your life, and too much sin, I will say, because we know in this instance that everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 through 17. And this is going to exploit this question of God's perversion of judgment even more. Listen to what Moses rehearses to the Israelites. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right he is. They have corrupted themselves. Spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord? O foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father, he that hath besought thee? Hath he not made and established thee? But Moses is telling Israel, don't be foolish. God is the only one that can know and does good and is not under the stain of perversion. Verse 7 continues. He says, remember the days of the old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, that God does not pervert judgment. Now, this is what we're going to do. Turn our Bible sources with me to turn to James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1, James chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what James says about it. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And listen to verse 12 and 13 concludes the thought. 12 and 13 says, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the liberty, the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy, and have and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What that is saying, my brothers and sisters, that God is the one who is going to deal out judgment, and his judgment is not perverse. My precious brothers and sisters, listen to what God says. He told Moses, as Moses was on Mount Sinai to receive the commandments from God, as God passed by Moses, God said, I will have mercy against, I will have mercy to those whom I will have mercy, and I will have judgment, or I will have grace for those whom I will have grace. My brothers and sisters, God does not pervert judgment. God is the person that issues. He is the being that issues judgment. And this is what we should realize. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's will that all mankind be saved. My precious brothers and sisters, that is what God wills, and that is not a perversion of judgment. Okay, turn your Bible sources back again with me. We're going to go to Job chapter 8. We're going to see what Bildad has to say more. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Job chapter 8, verses 13 through 15. And this is the instruction. I see we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in...
God said there's coming a day when I'm going to shake the world. But some things will not be shaken. Some things remain. In other words, there's coming a time when the world will be pressed and there'll be no way out. Those times come in your life, in your home. Tension, friction, financial trouble. You're pressed, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. There is an answer. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. But in the midst of all this changing, there are some things that never change. Think of it a moment. What never changes? The nature of God doesn't change. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed to adapt himself to our generation. God is unchanging. I am the Lord God, I change not. God is unchanging in his holiness. We're all guilty of coming short of God's holy requirements. And we're all sinners, and we're all in need of the grace and mercy of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross. He died for your sins. He died for mine. And God took your sins and laid them on Christ. God changes not in his holiness. And let me tell you, because he is a holy God, he is also unchanging in his judgment. There is a judgment day coming. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible is filled with stories of judgment. Our Lord talked more about hell than he did heaven. There is a day of judgment coming. God is a holy God, and you and I are going to stand there. And when I stand there, I'm not going to ask for justice. I'm going to ask for mercy. I need mercy. I need the grace of God. I need the forgiveness of God. And I want to tell you a wonderful thing. God loves you, and he offers you tonight forgiveness and he offers you mercy. God can forgive every sin you've ever committed. God can wipe the slate clean because of Christ. Not because you deserve it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his love. God loves you. That's the most wonderful thing to go to bed with at night, to know that God loves me. God forgives me. God is interested in me. But I must receive him. Secondly, the word of God does not change. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I settled that a long time ago. There are a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. There are questions you could ask me that I cannot answer. I don't know all the answers in this book. How can a finite mind like mine comprehend the infinite? I cannot. So one day I opened the Bible and I said, "Oh Lord, I accept this as your word by faith." And that settled it from that moment on. When I quote the scriptures, I know that I'm quoting the word of God. It's a living word. And lastly, the way of salvation has not changed. All these centuries, the way to the kingdom of God is exactly the same. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He will never change. But you must change.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we continue to go. We're on Job chapter 8. It's Bildad trying to convince Job that he has sinned against God. Listen to what Bildad has to say. This is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read what Bildad says. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That means those who are double-minded, they're double-tongued, they're hypocritical, they shall perish. Listen to how Job chapter 8, verse 13 through 15 says. It says, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be in a spider web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure." That is what Bildad is telling Job and explaining to him. That's how they know that he has sinned. Now, let's go turn your Bible sources to Isaiah chapter 32, and we're going to get more of a clarification on this. Listen to how the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 2. Listen to Jeremiah, what he says. Not Jeremiah, I mean Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet says this, "And a man shall be a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Then let's go to verse 5 through 7 says, "The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the curl shall be said bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainously, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord and to make empty the soul of the hungry. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the curl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words even when the needy speak right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall they stand. And verse 16 through 18 completes the thought. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. The prophet is telling us that the hypocrite cannot stand in the eyes of God. The hypocrite will fail. And this is not the case with Job, as we know from reading the entire story. Now listen to what, let's go to Matthew. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to listen to how Jesus put it for us today. Listen to what Jesus said about this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of the Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands, even when they eat. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your transgression or your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, The people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and their honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My brothers and sisters, but in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. And that is telling us that we are hypocritical when we say, do as I say and not as I do. And that is what Jesus is telling the disciples that are listening to him. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we must do as we say we will do, and do it in the name of the Lord. Simple as that, my brothers and sisters. Do not be a hypocrite. If you say it, do it. Okay, let us turn our Bible sources back again. We're going to go back to Job chapter 8. We're going to look at another verse from Job chapter 8. This is, again, Bildad still trying to convince and convict Job of his sin. This is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the chapter or the verse to you. This is the instruction. God will not cast away a perfect man. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? God will not cast away a perfect man. If you, again, even in the sense where we know that because we believe in God, and that's through Jesus Christ, by faith and repentance, we are perfecting ourselves. That is what Jesus brought to the table. But God, if you were perfect, as Adam and Eve were not perfect, but they were perfect in their generation, in the garden, that God would not hold that to them adversarially. Okay, I see that we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll return to the instruction.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, listen to what Bildad said to Job. And what Bildad says now, I would say is very reasonable, because you would think this is the case. But see, with God, it is what I mentioned earlier in the previous instruction. God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he will have grace upon whom he will have grace. It is God's doing, and this is, as Jesus says, marvelous in my eyes. So God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that directs our steps. And listen now to what Job was told by Bildad in Job chapter 8, verse 20. And this, again, is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. God will not cast away a perfect man. My precious brothers and sisters, we know that we're imperfect because of sin. And we're not made as perfect as God, but we were made as perfect in our generation to receive the benefits of God had it not been for sin. And that's what entered into our lives and caused us to fall short of the glory of God. Now, this is what Bildad told Job in Job chapter 8, verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. That is of a truth. Now we're going to go to Psalms 37, and we're going to see how emphatically God put this through the King David speaking to Israel in Psalms 37. Verse 16, 20, listen to what God says to Israel through King David. A little that a righteous man had, that means perfect in this sense, is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, the unrighteous, those who are imperfect. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous, meaning the perfect, those who are, as we know today, following with faith and repentance the will of God. Verse 18 completes or continues, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Verse 19 again continues, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. That's exactly what Job went through and he experienced. And verse 20 completes this particular thought, but the wicked shall perish, and the evil of the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, They shall consummate into smoke. They shall consummate away. And to complete or continue the thought, verse 23 and 25 of Psalms 23 again continues. It says, listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, the Lord God Almighty, delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Again, my brothers and sisters, God will not cast away a perfect man. Verse 25 says, King David telling Israel, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And again, to continue the thought, verse 28 through 29, or 28 and 29, continues by saying, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The Lord will preserve the righteous. And on verse 39, he continues, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And verse 40 completes the thought, and the Lord will help them and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and will save them because they trust in him. My precious brothers and sisters, God will not cast away you for righteousness, trying to be as perfect as you can in him through repentance. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to hear what Jesus had to say about the same subject, and he's connecting the dots. This is what we are looking at today as far as God casting away a perfect man, and he will not. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, listen to what God says. Chapter 25, verse 23, it says this. It says, his Lord, Jesus is speaking, a parable, said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God will not cast away a perfect person. Now, this parable is not telling us about perfection because Jesus knows that we're not perfect. But he knows that through repentance and faithfulness that we will attain that perfection that God requires of us because of sin, even in the spite of sin. And so that's why the parable is written, and this is why Jesus is saying it. In fact, in verse 29 through 34, listen to how Jesus completes this thought. Jesus says, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. My brothers and sisters, we must continue to stay the course. Verse 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into the darkness. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what happens to those that do not follow this parable and instruction. And again, continuing, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from the other as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the goat on his right hand, the sheep on his, the goats on his left hand, but the sheep on his right hand. Then listen, my precious brothers and sisters, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. My precious brothers and sisters, God the Father will not, you hear me, will not forsake those who are righteous. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will reward all of us according to our works. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? And that should be satisfying for you to know that if you are righteous, if you are perfecting your righteousness because you are not without sin and repentant, then God will hear you and will not forsake you or cast you aside. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources with me back to Job chapter 9. And now we're going to listen to how Job responds to Bildad in this area of confrontation and debate. We're going to go to Job chapter 9. We're going to look at several verses, and as I read the verses to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. This is the instruction. How can a man be justified with God? And this is what Job is going to retort in response to what Bildad tried to cite against him as the reason why God has caused him to face this calamity at this time in his life. This is how Job responds. Job chapter 9, verse 2. This is what Job tells Bildad. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? And he continues in verse 20 through 22. He says, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say that I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. My precious brothers and sisters, we've reached the last break in our study tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the course lesson.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to him. He's honored when we talk to him. And he's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If he can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if he can give us the Ten Commandments, he can answer any prayer we pray that fits his will and his plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring his power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on this instruction of Bildad being responded to by Job, whom Job is citing this question, how can a man be justified with God? Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 9, verse 2. Again, Job says, I know it is so of a truth that how should man be just with God? And he continues with verse 20 by saying, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore, I say. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Listen, my brothers and sisters, what he says to Bildad in verse 32 to complete this thought. He says, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. My brothers and sisters, Job is telling Bildad that he knows that God is the only one that justifies. And this is what he's telling Bildad. Now, to clarify this even more, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Listen to how Jeremiah chapter 10 puts it in verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 8. Listen to what Jeremiah prophesied. Silver spread into, but they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock of a doctrine of vanity. That's what he's prophesying against man. Verse 21, he continues, he says, for the pastors are before brutish, have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Verse 23 continues, O Lord, listen, my brothers and sisters. Jeremiah says, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his own steps. And verse 24 completes the thought, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So Jeremiah tells us that man cannot justify himself. And Jeremiah tells us more so than Job in this prophecy. Now let's turn our Bible sources to the New Testament complement. Turn with me to Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. Listen to what Jesus said about it and how he said it in his parable, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen, this is what Jesus says about justification. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, listen, my brothers and sisters out there, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? So this is how God deals with the unrighteousness of man. So man cannot be justified before God except in what he does. And man, and God will ensure that everything he does be held into account. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that what you say and do will determine your status with God. How important that is, my brothers and sisters, and how we have been given mercy and graciousness, because God could eliminate faithfulness and repentance and just justify us, or justify what he does to us according to our deeds exclusively. But he doesn't. Because of Jesus Christ, we have repentance. And that's what Jesus brought to the table. Jesus said that his gospel was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He told Zacchaeus in the New Testament that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And that is the good judgment of God. And you might say that is his justification. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for this evening's lesson. Turn back, if you will, with me to Job chapter 10. And we're going to hear more of what Job had to say to Bildad. Job chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at verses 2 and several other verses. Listen, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. Listen, God has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. We have been mentioning that all through the lesson tonight, that God will be gracious unto whom he will be gracious, and that God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And we know that the psalmist said it well, that God is merciful and gracious, that he is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In fact, he continues by saying, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is God's mercy towards us. It is so important for us to realize this mercy of God. Now, this is what Job had to say about it in chapter 10, verse 2. Listen to what Job says. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Job continues with verse 7 through 9. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thy hand. Thy hand has made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? And he continues with, or completes the thought with verse 19. Job says, and these things hast thou hid in thy heart. I know that this is with thee. My precious brothers and sisters, God did not create us for destruction. We have to understand that. But we have to do what the Spirit instructs us to do in order to be saved. And we know that Jesus came to show us the way, and that Jesus is the truth. And that is so significant to understand. And let's go still to Psalms 139. And as I mentioned earlier about God's having mercy upon us, listen to what David said in verse 139 about how gracious and good God is. Listen to what David says. David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such things are too wonderful for me to know. It is too high. I cannot attain it. You can see that God is all in all, my precious brothers and sisters, as far as David saying this or rehearsing this to the Israelites. He completes with verse 13 through 16. Listen to what he says. He says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Thy soul knoweth right well. My substance is not hid from thee. When I was made in secret places, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thy eyes did see my substance. Yet, being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, which as ye there was none of them. My brothers and sisters, David is telling us that God, through his mercy and grace, has made us to be saved. And this is what the book of Romans tells us about this. We're going to turn to the book of Romans, and we're going to look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 13 through 18. Listen to what Romans tells us. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And so he concludes by saying, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden, he will harden. That is what Paul is telling us. So we know that God is merciful. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that God's mercy endures forever, and that it is our number one asset with God. You hear that? Mercy and grace. Okay, that concludes the lesson for tonight. And before we cast off, in behalf of myself and the host, we would like to thank you for continued support and listening in at our programs. Good night.